Well, I want to share something with you today. And for those who take notes, we're calling this, How is My Hearing? How is my hearing? And we're basing this from Matthew 13, chapter 13 and verse 13. How is my hearing? And here, Jesus speaks about the parable of the sower. And Jesus takes the disciples to one side and he privately interprets to them these parables because they ask him the inner meaning. Now, Jesus did that deliberately because that was a sign to him, those who really wanted to hear. To those who were just hearing and those who really wanted to hear. See? And that is what this is addressed to today, even to us. So in Matthew 13, verse 13, it says, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hear they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart has become gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so it goes on. So, if you hear, Jesus said, you are blessed. You are blessed. And our faith is essential because faith comes by hearing, reading through this word. So we know where we are in the faith, and our faith tells us by the fact of how we hear. You cannot increase your faith, you cannot act your faith or force your faith above that which you have already heard. If you want a faith that glorifies God, a faith that is active, it has come as a result of hearing, on the basis of hearing. And this hearing that he speaks of here, quite obviously, is a hearing that is within the heart. And that's why, of course, he speaks about the parable of the sower, where the ground has to be prepared. These different grounds. And this speaks of the heart. And so my hearing is based on my heart. And my heart is based on my relationship with God. How I stand. How I walk with him. Is sin still separating me from him? And so on. And so those who are maturing the faith hear by the hearing of faith. And I want us to turn to this in Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 11 through to 14. Of Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through to 14. And here there's a warning here. Christ has already spoken about Melchizedek, this high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and believers are kept in God's grace and mercy by faith. And then it says here in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we find periodically that there are times in which the Holy Spirit will challenge, and he might just have to bring us back to some basics. And you might say to yourself, well, that's the milk of the word. But the question is, why has God brought us back to the milk of the word? And it could just be because you have become a little dull in hearing. And so because there's some things not right, there's no way God can take you onto the solids or further solids until you get this put right. And this was often the children of Israel's problem. God was trying to get them to hear with their heart, but they would not have it. Because they were held in the emotions and in the unbelief and in the pride and so on. And they are the things that stop one from hearing. Your hearing becomes dull. This is why, sadly, so in so many Christian churches, we don't see maturity as there should be. And so when you start to try and teach the deeper life in the spirit message, sometimes you lose them. Because they're still dull of hearing. Their hearing is not right. Now a minister, if he is really close to God, he's going to discern that one pretty quickly. And you're going to realize, no, it's not solid. They've got to have milk still. And I've had to learn that. Sometimes when I've been invited to preach or go away, sometimes I've had prepared a message, and the moment I've opened my mouth, something different comes out. And it hasn't taken me long. No, they can't stomach that. Not for them. And so the milk of the word comes through. The Holy Spirit never makes a mistake. Now, we can deceive ourselves by the fact that we can come here, oh, well, I have the meat of the word each week. But the point is, maybe you've become a little dull in hearing in areas. And so the meat of the word is not going to do you any good. And this is in some way a warning to us. Because he says here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And there, of course, is what man likes to be. Man likes to teach. He likes to feel he knows the word. He likes to feel he's in control. And listen to what I've got to say. We're not only, of course, talking to the office ministry of teacher, but also teaching in general. After all, we like to witness, like to share. We like to share the gospel. Or maybe we like to put people right. But God says here, you've got need of thinking here. You need to get back to the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, I've already, in a testimony about India, given something very profound that in my mind speaks about this. We have had more messages on faith than are probably most churches. Yet I said to you something, that the only way those people that we ministered to would start to begin to understand what faith is to actually feed them. And yet something so simple, so profound, can be lost by our theology, by our doctrine, by our pride, that we can miss out on something as simple and as basic as that. That is what he's referring to. You want to be teachers, but I need to remind you, if you want to be a teacher, that you teach by example. And that is what he's saying here. Your life has to be that example. My life has to be that example. Unless when I was in India, my life was an example to serve them, I'd lost it. I could preach faith till it comes home. It will not be blessed. And I had settled that. And that's what he means. But he says solid food belongs to them that are of full age. This speaks of maturity. Those who are growing up into sonship. and had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, you have become so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you have become so sensitive to the needs, that you can exercise, you can discern, you know what to do. If you see a need and you're able to provide for that, you know what to do. That is somebody who's mature. They're the ones who are now on the solid meat of the word. Because that solid meat means not only can I partake of that, but I can give that out to others as well. Because that's where true sustenance is. I don't want to keep teaching and preaching people the milk of the word. Because you can only survive so long on milk. To fully survive and mature and grow, you have to have meat. In order to have meat, I need to understand truly what that meat is about. You see? If you haven't meat, then you cannot give meat out. You can only give out that which has been put there anyway. Well, having said all of that, let's turn to Galatians. The book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Now, we know this story very well. The Galatian church, having begun in the spirit, was moving more and more towards the flesh. And the flesh, of course, is the law. And what was under attack, under threat, was justification by faith. They wanted to bring circumcision and other forms of the law which would confirm you're justified by faith. They just could not accept that by faith you are justified, you see? So this is in the context of what we're looking at. And so as we take it up in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, but for whose eyes Jesus Christ has been opened, set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Here it comes back again. How is my hearing? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? In other words, he says, you've gone through all of this, all trials and tests. Is all of that just going to be in vain? That you've learned nothing? That you still want that dead law that could never save anyone? That's the question he's raising. "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" That is the question that he raises. Note that it says all in there, it's about the hearing. You cannot hear the law. You can only hear faith. The law was not given just primarily for hearing. It was given as a hearing, yes, to obey. That is what the law was given. But God in his insight knew that the law was only to be a schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring them eventually to faith. God was trying to show through this hearing of the law, that there was going to come an inner, deeper hearing, a greater hearing, a hearing that would be by faith, not by works anymore, not by trying to do something, trying to please God, trying to be religious, trying to act religious. No. What God was going to show was, you are and only can be justified by faith. And that is on the basis of choosing to believe that God has redeemed you, made you right before his presence, or he hasn't. You have that choice. Because your works, your efforts, will have nothing to do with that. It is on the basis of hearing, and I choose to believe that. And he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" We still want that flesh, don't we? The flesh still wants to pride itself in some religious form and way. But what you fail to see by doing that is you bring yourself under the curse of the law. And do you know the tragedy today? We have a lot of professing Christians who sadly are under the curse of the law. Their hearing is very much affected. Look at verses 10 to 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But the no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live by them. So it says, the law is not faith. That's a surprise, isn't it? Because we think that the law, the word of God, the law, faith comes by hearing the word of the law. No, if you see the word of God as law, and you hear it as law, that ain't faith. And that is not the faith that will hear that God wants you to hear. This is a different hearing. This is a hearing that comes by the redeemed. Those that are called from the foundation of the world. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow him in the footsteps that God has for your life, your ministry, your course, for this church, and so on. That is the hearing. Whenever you hear God's word, you will hear the grace as well to receive it. When you hear God's word by the anointing, you will receive the healing and deliverance that is attached to it. If you are hearing. But he says if you're under the works of the law, you're under its curse. You keep just one area of the law, even just one, you are under its curse. Its curse. Well, I better acknowledge the Sabbath. I still should keep that. Then you're under its curse. To rid man of religion, which is fundamentally superstition, pride, takes a very, very long time. And that is why we're shown, as it carries on when you read this, that faith, that Abraham acted his faith. And upon the acting of his faith, that was redemption. Now, we know, of course, that Abraham missed it with his faith. And of course, he was promised a son, and son, it seemed, didn't come, so Sarah said, you better conceive with my maid. And we know all the story about that. And he missed it. He went out of the perfect plan of God for a season. But God brought him back. Faith brought him back. The faith that was in Abraham was that an enduring faith. He made a mess, but God was still with him because he was still hearing. He was still hearing by that faith of hearing. And all he knew what to do was take it each day. And in that day I will meet God. That is an enduring faith. That is the faith that you and I, this church, are to walk by. A faith that you take on each day, and in that you just meet God and walk for that day. We do not know what tomorrow holds, next year, whatever it is. You're foolish if you try and start to plan ahead. I don't plan ahead. There may be some certain things that God shows, insight, whatever it is, but fundamentally I live for each day. I walk, endure, I take it each day. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Because that is how a man or woman of faith walks. Now some can hear that, and some can't. But that is Bible. Now what does it say in verses 22 to 29? But the scriptures have concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. There we are, you could say, the type of milk of the word. It's like a schoolmaster. It's working with us, bringing us into liberty, into freedom, faith, that rest of faith, growing up. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You're not under a schoolmaster. You don't think anymore like a schoolmaster. You're not running to him, asking questions, wanting to be shown this or that. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? So on. You've come out of that. You've developed from that. For you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There it is, by faith. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's water baptism. Baptized into Christ. His death, his resurrection. There's neither Jew, Greek, neither bond, free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. This simply means, on the basis of faith, believing by faith, that justifying by faith, that hearing by faith, everyone who should be hearing today by faith, God doesn't look whether you're male, female, white, black, yellow, what religion, where you live, what car you drive, whatever. That is not how the Spirit receives it. He receives it up as one in Christ. That's what it means. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that's why those promises that were upon Abraham are upon you and upon the church. God has placed those promises upon this church. And that is why he's opened up India for us. And God is going to test us and watch to see whether we have a faith that has come by hearing or a faith that has come by hearing by the law. We have a choice set before us. We don't know how God works. 2 years ago, would we have thought God was going to be working in this way? No. But what a privilege. What a privilege is this being set before us, to be able to give out, not only practically to help feed these people, but to be able to give out the seed of God's word, that they too can inherit Abraham's blessings. As I try to so encourage them, but unless they get a little foretaste of Abraham's blessings, they ain't going to be convinced. They are not going to be. And so, praise God, it's important how we hear when God speaks to us, both individually and corporately. And that, of course, reminds me, as I close with this, why God addressed the seven churches in Asia Minor. He said, at the end of each one, hear what the Spirit says to the church. The reason many of those churches fell by the wayside, sadly, was on that basis. It was on the hearing. Let that never be with us as a people. Father, thank you today. Thank you that we've been able to come back and to share and to have fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy over us. Thank you for how you so enriched us, Lord. But Father, you have shown us needs. You have shown us, brothers and sisters in India. Why you work this way, I do not know. Father, one could say there's many needs in this country. But Lord, you have chosen for a season that we move by faith and obedience in this for your glory. And Father, all we do, all we care about, is for your glory. It's not for ourselves. Why I want my ministry is moving together in unity and oneness, Father. And if you've set these doors, this opportunity, there to glorify your name, that is exactly, Father, what we wish to do. And so you will enable us, Father, for this. Empower us, Father, that we would be generous in giving, helping these people practically. Because, Lord, when we feed you, when we feed them, we feed you. Where we see a need and we meet that need, that is your need. So give us your heart, Father. Give us your heartbeat in all of this, we ask in Jesus' name.